Hello, everybody, and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. Garrett here. That's Brad.
Hello.
And that's Wade.
Hello, everyone.
How's it going?
Just peachy.
It is going.
Well, it got more peachy in the green room. Holy crap.
Well, you know, we've got to let off a little steam ahead of time so we can
do this serious podcast. Is that what you were letting off in the green room?
Yes.
Okay. Steam. Okay.
Steam.
Sure.
You know, yeah. Like the video game company.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Okay. How was your weekend?
That's what we call a change of topic.
Politically changed topic.
Weekend was okay. I had a father-daughter dance. It was a Girl Scout thing, but it was a father-daughter dance, which, of course, they put 100 people inside of a tight school auditorium with no air ventilation and make them jump around for an hour and a half.
It sounds glorious.
So that's clearly, you know, there's no issues there at all.
They then used the heat provided by those people.
Yeah, I was sweating like a pig after the first dance. It's crazy. Saturday and Sunday were pretty mild, actually. We did some work on our home improvement stuff. Ran a few errands. It's my daughter's birthday tomorrow. Or today, if you're listening to this on February 12th. And so we did some errands for that and kind of picked out some stuff and getting everything ready for that. But luckily, she's a low-maintenance kid. When you ask, you have to pry tooth and nail to try to get her to commit to wanting anything. So it makes, look at it one of two ways. It makes it a pain to go find something to buy for her, but also there's not a lot of expectation there either, so that's cool.
Really, she was like creating a list for like 2 months for Christmas. Then it was for her birthday,
she's like,
nothing.
I don't know. Not very eventful. Although this weekend she wants to go to one of those indoor trampoline places for her birthday as something to do instead of something to get. Yeah, we have one out here called Big Air, which I'm sure is the same thing.
Okay. And they're then, awesome.
Say that again.
I said they're awesome. Have you been before?
She had a birthday party she attended at one. Which I observed. I did not.
You partook? What are you kidding?
I don't think I... Not at the one I'm thinking of.
Nah.
Well, you need to.
There was one...
I do.
We did, and I twisted my ankle doing it pretty badly. Yeah, now you remember that one? Yeah.
No, but the memory of you in pain is always a good memory.
Oh. This is what I live with, people.
You're welcome.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So she's got some friends that we're actually going to be watching tomorrow. So she'll have some friends over for her birthday, and they're probably going to join us at the trampoline place this weekend. We have plans, loose plans, to see a movie this weekend. She wants to see Jupiter Rising, if she hasn't already. And there's also a martial arts tournament going on Saturday, which is Valentine's, everybody. Don't forget. Down in San Diego. But I don't think we're going to go to that. It's an hour and a half drive, and with her birthday festivities, probably not in the cards.
Pretty book solid.
Yep.
Sounds like it.
Yep. A lot of stuff in the works. Wade, how about you? How was your pseudo weekend and or actual weekend?
Well, continuing on, not really much happened throughout the weekend. I've been trying to iron out the time schedule for the channel. But on Monday, I earned the certification, to actually work as a bartender in the state of California.
Woohoo!
Sweet.
I took the Serve Safe alcohol examination and passed first shot. And that's... yeah.
I see what you did there.
Ha ha ha.
Nice. Now, do you get a card or anything like that?
We'll be getting the certification in the mail in about 2 weeks.
So you should really examine opportunities outside of where you're working.
Yep.
So question for you on that. Is it just a bunch of rules and regulations that you have to know, or do they actually test you on stuff like how to mix certain drinks?
It's not really certain drinks. It's how to tell if this is a fake ID.
Legalities, not not the serving itself.
Not the mixology.
Yeah,
correct.
How to tell if someone's getting to that point where, you know, intoxication.
You shouldn't serve them another martini.
What's that?
You should not serve them another martini.
Yeah, exactly. Where, you know, I'm gonna have to stop serving you, man. And it's the whole tactile of it. It's you can't don't use an accusatory phrase like I can't serve anymore, can't serve you anymore because you're drunk. You know, it's and you have to be like, you know, I want to see you get home safely. You know, use more of an I statement than a you statement.
Yep, because drunk people can't be reasoned with. And if you know someone's drunk and they leave and get in an accident, technically, at least in California, the bar / restaurant can be liable.
That is called dram law, by the way.
There you go.
And fun.
Yeah, anyone who is actually injured or if a person is killed, the relatives, family can sue the establishment and the bartender if it is found out the bartender allowed that person to leave intoxicated.
Alrighty.
So it's actually pretty crazy is that you want to keep someone at your bar if you believe they're intoxicated.
Well, what you can try to do too is you can, this is purely hypothetical and maybe this is not correct. Maybe this is something you can't do.
Well, I can probably tell you.
Requesting their keys.
Oh yeah. There's a definite times where you're like, yeah, give me your keys.
And you can do that.
Yep.
And then you can then call a cab or mm-hmm. whatever and, you know, let them get home that way and let them figure out because anyone who says, well, I can't afford a cab. Well, you're not going to be able to afford a DUI either. So the lesser of two evils is definitely a cab.
You can't afford a DUI and you can't afford another car then either.
Yeah. So public service announcement. Be safe out there, everybody.
No drinking and driving. I will find you.
Wow. That happened.
Yes, it did.
Moving on.
Yes, sir.
Is that all you have to say, Wade?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Sounds like a pretty productive weekend, week.
Day. It was only one day. But
I was giving you credit there. Roll with it.
He's had days of training, and he found out that there's a position full-time that he is going to be moving into.
Went through this last one.
We might have last week. He's just waiting on the date to start. Just
waiting on someone else to fill a position because the dishwasher or another dishwasher already filled my shift, waiting to find someone to fill his shift. Holy hell.
Well, if your shift is filled, then you should be able to move on, but
they're not going to put him into my shift until they find a guy to fill his shift.
Yeah. Unions, aren't they great?
Doesn't matter. I think I'm already, my position has already changed in the system, so I should already be being paid more.
Even though you're not doing the work.
Yeah.
Nice. What about you, Brad?
Fairly quiet weekend. We did take a minor road trip down to Indianapolis on Saturday. Went out for dinner and stopped in at one of my favorite toy stores, Fry's Electronics.
Woo-hoo! Oh, yeah.
Yep. That was a load of fun.
What'd you buy?
Nothing. No, what? That's not true. I'm sorry. That is not true. Oh, my goodness.
What a liar.
I bought some clear, well, mine is, they are translucent. They're not transparent. They're translucent covers for our laptops.
Okay.
So I don't know if you've ever seen those snap-on plastic covers for MacBooks.
No, not really.
Nope.
Okay. So you can tint your MacBook, essentially, but it protects it as well. So mine is now gray, which I suppose it was being aluminum, and my wife's is now purple.
It's like a hard plastic that clips over top of the case.
Yep.
I guess like a pressure snap. Okay.
Yeah, yep. You know, aluminum actually scratches really well.
Yeah. It's one of the softest metals and lowest.
Yep.
Lowest melting points.
So my MacBook has a few scratches on it, so I decided to try and prevent that from happening further.
From continuing.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Take
what
your
did
key.
You what did you look at Fry's?
Oh. Lots and lots of
what's on the shopping
parts.
List.
I perceive a home theater system soon.
Yeah. No. The virtual shopping, I spent, I don't know, probably a good $7,000 or $8,000. you know, they got good home theaters there. They've got lots of components. I like do-it-yourself stuff when it comes to electronics. So,
speaking of, have you ever taken any steps towards your aerial, well, I'll call it what it is, your firework launch system?
No, no, not yet.
Sad face. You have big plans for that.
You were coming up to visit again.
Could be arranged.
I know. So yeah, that was the highlight of our weekend, really.
Laptop
cases. The rest of it was kind of quiet.
Sweet. I saw your wife said something about your favorite restaurant reopening a little closer, be after their construction mishaps.
Yeah, so last winter, we got a fairly severe snowstorm, which is not uncommon for us, but the roof of the restaurant collapsed under the weight of the snow.
Ouch.
Yeah, so that was actually where we went Saturday, but because they hadn't reopened yet, we had to take the drive down to Indianapolis, but now they're reopening fairly soon, I believe.
That's good for you.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, with that, I guess we should jump into some movies. Movie clips. We like movie clips. So, movies. In the box office, not box office, opening this week, we have five movies that I will touch briefly on because I haven't had time with the daughter's birthday tomorrow to really dive into it. Number one is The Kingsman, The Secret Service. This is about the British, like, spy organization type deal. Surprising to me, it's rated at 77%. I say surprising because we've seen a lot of big movies that we've anticipated come in at pretty crummy critic ratings. This one's fairly solid. It looks really well done. It's got the cast of Colin Firth, Michael Caine, Mark Hamill. I'll just pause there for a second. And Samuel Jackson, to note a few.
Shouldn't this be called, like, The Queensman? Because...
Yeah, a valid point. I'm not sure why it's not called The Queensman. Maybe that has some other sort of connotations in proper England. Like,
not that I'm aware of.
Like, service men that service the Queen? I don't know. But that is Kingsman. Also coming out is 50 Shades of Grey, the highly anticipated novel-come movie. So yeah, that's only got a critic rating of 41%, though, which is kind of surprising to me. Looking at the names, though, in it, no one really I recognize. Jamie Dornan plays Christian Grey. I want to say he's from Mad Men, but I could be wrong. Dakota Johnson plays the lead female, I believe.
Is her name Anastasia or something?
What?
Anastasia, I think your name is.
Yeah, Anastasia Steele. For those who had any sort of misconceptions, this will be rated R for strong sexual content, including dialogue, unusual behavior, and graphic nudity. Just to be aware.
I'm shocked.
You should be. Number three, a critic rating of 92% is What We Do in the Shadows. This is currently unrated from a critic's perspective. Looks like it has something to do with the undead. And I'm not sure if this is going to be... It looks like drama comedy. Looks like it's got something to do with HBO or creators of the HBO hit series Flight of the Conchords. But the synopsis looks pretty weak there. It chronicles the adventures of four vampire roommates trying to get by in a modern world. So okay. That's kind of interesting.
It's like Being Human in the Sci-Fi Channel.
That's kind of what that is. Or is that sci-fi or is that like CW or whatever?
No, I think it's like, it's sci-fi.
Sci-fi. That's coming out. Number four on the list is The Last 5 Years. This is with Anna Kendricks and Jeremy Jordan. Not super familiar with either one of those. This is PG-13. In an adaptation of a hit musical, The Last 5 Years is a musical deconstruction of a love affair and a marriage taking place over a 5-year period. Jamie, a young, talented, up-and-coming Jewish novelist, falls in love with Kathy, a Shiksa goddess and struggling actress. Their story is told almost entirely through song. All of Kathy's songs begin and end All of Kathy's songs begin at the end of their marriage and move backwards in time to the beginning of their love affair. While it looks like Jamie's songs start at the beginning of their affair and end at their marriage. I could see that being confusing.
Oh, yeah. I'm sitting here just like, God.
That's strange. Again, so PG-13 on that. That's got a critic rating of 65%. And finally, coming out is The Rewrite. This is with Hugh Grant and Marissa Tomei, also featuring J.K. Simmons. I think it's Simmons. It could be Simons. If you don't know who he is, he pops up in all kinds of stuff, so you'd recognize him once you see him. Once upon a time, Keith Michaels, played by Hugh Grant, was an award-winning Hollywood screenwriter, but divorce and a string of unsuccessful films have left him with nothing but bad debts and blank pages. So when his agent arranges a job as a guest screenwriting professor at a remote university in upstate New York, a desperate Keith can't say no. Initially hoping to give minimal effort to actually teaching so he can focus on his next script, Keith unexpectedly finds himself becoming invested in the students' lives, including Holly, played by Marissa Tomei, a single mom looking to start her own new chapter. The Rewrite features an all-star cast, including some of the names I just mentioned. Again, that is 65% also, and currently has no viewership rating. There, I got that out of the way. In the box office, number one, kind of a surprise to me, is the SpongeBob movie at $55.4
million. Evidently, there was nothing else good to watch.
Well, apparently. American Sniper, number two, which has been out for a good couple of weeks now, pulled in another $23.3 million. Jupiter Rising looks like it fell in critic rating down to 23%, pulled in $18.4 million. And Seventh Son, which is the fantasy Jeff Bridges movies, looks like it fell to 10% critic rating, pulling in $7.2 million.
Now,
his movies have not been doing great lately. I mean, the last few he did R.I.P.D., which was horrible from the critic's perspective. This.
Did you watch R.I.P.D.?
I haven't watched it from the start to finish. I've watched a bulk of it. And I was hoping it was going to be more Men in Black, less what it was.
Sure.
From what I could tell. The CG was sloppy. Not sloppy, but I don't know. Some of the character creations from a CG standpoint just made you wonder, like, why?
The movie was campy, but it was fun.
Yeah, and I guess that was kind of the point, but the critics didn't necessarily agree.
Well, I don't care.
I know you don't. I know.
I very rarely care what the critics think.
I don't care that you don't care.
That is a true statement.
Well, fine.
But yeah, we might be going to see Jupiter Rising this weekend. Grace is looking forward. My daughter's looking forward to the visual elements. So hopefully we'll have some firsthand experience on that. I know we haven't talked about a movie firsthand over here in a while. It's been a good probably 2 months. So hopefully we can get back onto a track there and be able to give you, our listeners, a little more insight.
Woohoo!
With that, news.
In mobile news this week, JetBlue has announced that they are going to be replacing all of their in-flight purchasing equipment. So, when you order a premium drink and they ask that you pay for it, they have to accept that payment somehow. On the smaller regional jets, a lot of times they're cash only, but on the big jets, they take credit cards. So what JetBlue has decided to do is replace all of their e-commerce equipment with iPad minis equipped with credit card readers, but not just plain credit card readers. They are also NFC, near field communications, equipped so that they will be able to accept Apple Pay. So that now brings the number of places you can use Apple Pay to 3 behind Walgreens and Trader Joe's. No, that's not quite true. You can use it in a fairly decent number of places, but it's exciting for me to see airlines start to adopt the technology, because it's not just Apple customers that benefit. Google attempted to have a NFC wallet system before, but never really took off. So hopefully Apple can, you know, really start to punch this through in the marketplace, and, you know, Android users will get the benefit from it as well.
Cool. So JetBlue looking to, has this rolled out, or is this just a proposal?
It says passengers on select JetBlue flights will be able to.
Awesome.
This is rolling out.
Very cool.
But over 3,500 devices have been issued.
Wow.
Yep.
That's a lot of iPads.
That'll be nice for Apple's Q2 earnings.
Yeah. Well, it can't hurt, that's for sure.
Yep.
Piggybacking on smartphone technologies, and mostly at Apple again, smartphone thefts have plummeted in 3 major cities thanks to the kill switch feature. The decline in 3 major cities after the manufacturers have implemented the kill switch. The kill switch, for those who don't know, is a remote option to turn off all functionality to a device to be used when the device is stolen or lost, so that no personal data falls into the wrong hands, so to speak. So the 3 major cities that we're talking about is San Francisco, New York, and London. In this case, we're talking about iPhones stolen within roughly a year-to-year comparison. They didn't give exact numbers, but San Francisco is reporting a 40% decrease in iPhone thefts compared to prior to having the kill switch feature. New York is saying 25%, correlating the same deal. And London says roughly half, or 50% decrease in phone thefts. All the info was provided from officials within the respective cities. The London mayor, Boris Johnson, San Francisco District Attorney George Gascon, and New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman were among numerous officials raging for new laws mandating the kill switch functionality. In California, where it appears no law currently exists, cell phone thefts have dropped statewide as a result of the kill switch function.
So this is a function that just like bricks the phone, right?
Totally. It locks it up. It makes it.
Yeah. It doesn't brick it. It locks it. In Apple's case, because I'm familiar with that one, it locks it to your Apple ID. So you can go in through. Apple has a remote login facility. Not for them, for you. You sign up for it and it's accessed by you. In Apple's case, it's called Find My iPhone. So I can log in to their website and put in my Apple ID and password and track where my phone is, and I can remotely send the command that essentially bricks the phone, making it unusable unless it is retrieved by me, and I then re-authenticate it to my Apple ID again. It's really cool, and the reason why they're seeing thefts drop in other places is this doesn't actually require legislation to enable. You know, Apple isn't making a London and New York specific version of the phone.
Nope.
So it just needed somewhere to require it. And now that they're putting it in, everybody gets the benefit from it.
Yep, agreed.
So, and where this is really, really paying off is it's cutting out the black and gray market for these devices. I mean, I can steal it from you, but most thefts, especially of these high-end devices, aren't for people to use, they're to sell. Sure. Right? I don't want your phone, I want the money that your phone is worth.
Yeah.
Pardon me.
Exactly.
So, you know, if I steal your phone and all I've stolen is a brick, well, then there's no market for a brick. Yeah. So what's the point in stealing it? I'll steal your radio instead.
I don't make a lot of money selling paperweights.
Exactly.
That's it.
Well,
wait.
I guess continuing on, if you're looking for something to watch on your in-flights, Netflix in combination with Nintendo have beginning to work on a live-action Legend of Zelda series.
Interesting. Yeah.
Alrighty.
This is one of Nintendo's longest-running franchises, spanning some 20 and upward games since its first game initial released. And even though this is still speculation, the series is looking for a writer. And even though Nintendo is not commenting, Netflix is not commenting, and Nintendo is saying they do not comment on speculation.
So this isn't confirmed yet.
Confirmed, but records have shown that Nintendo and Netflix have been talking quite heavily.
There's been a bit of other Netflix news as well. Apparently their House of Cards series, the next season, leaked or was released ahead of schedule from their pre-planned premiere. And additionally, Marvel, and Netflix have teamed up for a Daredevil series. So that has received a trailer, on Netflix.
And speaking of Marvel, Sony is allowing Marvel/Disney to use the rights for Spider-Man. Or they're allowing them to use Spider-Man.
Yeah, I wonder to what case, though, because the next Avengers movie is already done and is going to be out in theaters here in a couple months. So I wonder if they'll maybe do like a cameo thing at the end of the credits, you know, where they maybe try to tie Spidey into the fold, but we'll see how that goes.
Wow. There was a lot there.
We started with Netflix stuff and we kind of jumped ship.
Netflix is doing a bunch of stuff, and I know we've covered this in previous weeks, but I think the other segments of the entertainment industry really need to be on guard because Netflix is coming to get you.
This is really stepping on their toes, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and guess who I'm cheering on?
Yeah, the underdog.
So what do you guys think is the market for a Zelda live-action series?
Well, I think Nintendo's fishing hard. As we've talked about before, they're not doing great. The market, that's a tough one. I would have to say that it almost has to be geared toward people like us who have grown up with Zelda, not people now who might be playing, and I say people, I mean a younger generation who might be playing something on the Wii or the 3DS or something. I mean, I remember having the Zelda game on NES, and I had a big old graph paper map that my mom created for me to help me navigate the world of Zelda. And then with Super Nintendo, you had one or two games. And N64, you had
The Ocarina of Time.
And Mask of something.
You have a Mask. Majora's Mask. I played those a lot.
But we're the people that played and experienced those games.
It's going to feel kind of weird because you're giving somewhat of a mute character. I mean, he has been, other than, throughout most of the gaming franchise, to actually hear him talk. Now, I know there was a cartoon version of him where he, you know, was speaking, but most of us probably grew up with him and his sword swings.
Yeah, that's about it.
And so, Netflix, if you're looking for talent to do the voiceover, give us a call.
Yeah, apparently.
Because Wade has this nailed.
Wade has it down pat.
I'll take payment in rupees. Thank you.
So, I have to confess, I have not ever played Zelda in any way, shape, or form on any version of Nintendo. Would you guys watch a Zelda series?
I would give it a try.
I give it a chance, yeah.
But at the same time, I feel that with my age and my tastes now, that it probably wouldn't appeal to me very much. You know, the fantasy world, the fairies, the all the kind of stuff that Zelda is, was all fine and good when I was 10.
Well, they keep on. They went
now you like fantasy worlds and dragons and Game of Thrones.
Well, actually.
Yeah, because there's language and adult content and language and adult scenery and language and violence. Well, and
they go actually ahead, did go on to saying that it would be more of a Game of Thrones for family, which is like something I don't think I'd ever hear myself saying.
How do you have a Game of Thrones for family? It's kind of not.
Yeah.
No. There's lots of families in Game of Thrones. What are you talking about? There's
lots of families.
No.
Some nudity. Of them have no heads.
No nudity. No. Okay. How?
So how is this Game of Thrones? Okay.
So
I'm wondering if, obviously, there we have the desperation of Nintendo on one hand, but I wonder if they're also trying to leapfrog us. I don't know the content owners off the top of my head, but the group that owns the Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
God,
that was big.
Mattel was the toy brand, I think.
Yeah, I don't know who holds it for entertainment. Anyway, that was big when I was a kid.
New Line Cinema did the first three movies, but I don't know if New Line Cinema is still a thing.
That was big when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it's making a comeback, you know? So I'm wondering if they're trying to do the similar kind of thing with Zelda and make it appeal to a new generation.
Well, but it being live action, I see that being hard.
Why?
Well,
for our kids, for your and my kids, this is just another cartoon character that they've never seen until episode one that they can build a relationship with fresh. It's you and I, or actually it's you and Wade, that come to this with a baggage.
That's
right?
True.
Your kid, my kids, have no baggage associated with Zelda. They get to start over completely fresh.
That's true. I mean, that's a valid statement, and I have to say that one of my daughter's favorite shows is the new Flash series that's been on KTLA for us, the CW. I mean, that's what she wants to watch. Between that and Arrow, those are our top two shows here at the house that she really enjoys. And those aren't necessarily childish. They are live action. She had no interaction with and knowledge of the Flash or the Green Arrow prior to the TV shows. I suppose it could be that. I just, maybe I'm bringing too much baggage to it or what. I'm just not sure how a live action with what the games have been that I've experienced will play well.
This is what you said, definitely a very, long cast for a fishing attempt.
It's sure.
Because, we've seen as these movies are going on, both Marvel and DC, Marvel more in lead with what they're going on, is that Nintendo's going, okay, maybe we can get a shot in this. Let's see how well a video game TV series goes. Because apparently the comic TV series and movies are doing pretty well.
Yeah. Well, and it's not unprecedented. I mean, Sega licensed Sonic for TV.
Oh, I remember that.
It was cartoon. It wasn't live action. I'm not sure how you do a live action Sonic, but
Well, but then you had the Resident Evil movies that were all based on, I mean, loosely based on the games.
Sure. So it's not unprecedented. Yeah, so.
It's never been, it's not that it's never been done, for sure.
Well, it's, and most of those have sucked, but I guess there are some good video game movies, but...
Silent Hill.
Yeah. So
Halo? Oh wait, they still haven't made that one.
Yes, they have. Well, they made the one.
Wasn't it like Forward Unto Dawn?
Yeah,
wasn't that?
We've talked about it.
Eh, it wasn't really a movie. It was a I suppose it was a made-for-TV.
It's on Netflix as a movie.
Oh, is it really?
They probably just spliced it all together and went here.
Yeah, that's what it was because well, it was.
I think it was
miniseries.
Designed to be all together because when you watch it, it's seamless, and it was broken up for the release methodology.
All right.
Anyway,
so, I mean, yes. I'm sitting here trying to think of like any other movie franchises or not movie video game franchises that could be used.
Well, the trick to the video game gone movie, and I know we're going on a huge rant here. We started with a basic Netflix, but whatever. The video game thing is you already have a predetermined story with the game. So either the movie has to then replicate that essentially exact story to give the fans what they're expecting, or use the title and the characters and have a very, very loose correlation. We saw the loose correlation with the Dragon Ball movie that came out some years ago, and it was a steaming pile of garbage compared to what the anime was and what people were expecting it to be. With the comic books, you have so many different renditions and reboots and whatever that the movie creators can go and have so much source material to hybrid it as opposed to an already predetermined story.
And that's actually a really strong, or not strong, but a really teeter-totter kind of stuff that they're working on with the World of Warcraft movie.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much lore bat in that series. And I know this is major tangent, but you know where do you go? Either you make it accessible for people and annoy the WoW fans, or you make it, you know,
a fan to the, movie.
Yeah, fans to the game.
What you could then do with something like that, because there is so much lore, is instead of doing a movie based on what the game has given you, you do a prequel of how you got to. So that if you were to start Warcraft tomorrow, it picks up where the movie left off, so to speak, as a new Warcraft player, as an option.
So could World of Warcraft screenwriters, contact Garrett for tips.
Just one man's humble opinion.
Yeah, if I said Medivh, sharing with the world, you would have no idea who.
Oh, no. I would have to... I'd have to get my entourage together to flesh this out.
Where's that book of WoW? Oh, yeah, right.
So, bringing this back.
But, back to reality, please.
Back down. But while we're on the subject of entertainment, America's most hated company, Comcast.
Oh, Comcast.
Yeah, the other
Comcast,
one.
Comcast, yes. They won an award last year. We covered that one.
We did.
Yep, that
sucked the most.
It is so bad. Go on. How bad is it?
How bad is it?
Yeah.
It set you up and everything. It is so bad. A family in the Philadelphia area, which is one of Comcast's service areas, requested Comcast installation. After 6 weeks of broken appointments and getting no joy from the company, they wrote to the newspaper to tell them about this. Mm-hmm. Well, it just so happens that the reporter that they got, the columnist that they got, is friends with Comcast CEO... Let me find his name. I thought I had it. Sorry about that. Yep, I know. I guess I didn't have it. Well, anyway. Friends with the CEO's mother.
Nice.
So, if you actually want Comcast to do anything for you, you have to tell on them.
Better to call the CEO's
mother.
You have to. And she grabbed her son, dragged him
by
to
the
their
ear.
House, by the
yes.
ear.
And got the switch.
You know, this is absurd.
So my question is, how did we know this? Did the same writer take these people's stories and write that he went and told mommy also? Like, I guess I'm curious as to how the article came to be now.
Well, the link will be in the show notes.
Have to take a look.
The plot thickens.
I thought that's why you were here, but apparently not.
Yeah, no, the columnist wrote about it and said that he told on them.
That's almost, God. What is it? Divine justice?
Less than a day, the problem was solved.
I figured the CEO would just write a check to his mom and tell her to shut up.
Go buy that Jaguar you wanted.
That's right. Here, Mom, I got you a new car. Can you just not talk? Thanks.
You know, this is one of those things that I understand things happen and, you know, appointments don't always work out. But seriously?
6 weeks?
This is one of the biggest service companies, internet service, TV service, biggest media companies in the country. You would think they would know how to turn a switch on.
Yeah. Or at least have somebody get in contact with these people instead of just cold turkey.
Someone put something in someone's calendar that says they need to be at this time at this place.
Yeah, this isn't rocket science, guys.
Nope, it's not.
God, I could be a better coordinator than whoever it is.
The title is executive assistant.
Appointment
Either way,
coordinator.
I've heard it both ways.
so tell on them.
You know,
okay.
Just another dent in Comcast's rotten, rusty armor.
I was going to say, in their stellar public persona, perception.
And this is the company that's whining to the FCC that don't change the rules. We won't know what to do.
Apparently, you don't know what to do even if
the rules stay the same.
Exactly.
Idiots. Well, from a company who can't evolve to one that is paving the way, SpaceX, our good friends.
Nice.
And, you know, our buddy Elon. Not that I had lunch with him yesterday or anything.
We do not know him, actually.
SpaceX has launched their Falcon 9 rocket, which is carrying the Discover satellite. Obviously, it's been no secret there have been some complications in previous attempts, but the Discover Space Weather Satellite was launched today from Cape Canaveral, beginning its 1 million-mile journey to monitor geomagnetic storms. Now, for all of us, you know, who...
It's seriously monitoring space weather.
It's monitoring space weather. Literally monitoring solar winds.
That's awesome.
What are solar winds, you ask? I'm glad you asked.
What are solar winds?
Solar winds are essentially particles from the sun that are blasted out from the sun in all directions, which is what causes the aurora borealis because they interact with the Earth's magnetic sphere.
And the one in the southern hemisphere.
What?
And the one in the southern hemisphere.
Because we have magnetic poles.
Yes.
Yes.
You
poles.
You reference the aurora borealis. That's
I don't know
the
what the one
hemisphere.
In the south is called.
The aurora australis.
Okay, thank you.
A computer engineer and a geologist.
It's an astronomer, but it's okay. Geologist researches
and
rocks.
An astronomer.
Wade only had one
rolling
beer tonight,
on,
but apparently. Yep. So a little bit of info on the rocket. It only takes 1 minute and 13 seconds for the Falcon 9 to reach supersonic speeds, which is kind of cool.
That's actually kind of slow.
I was kind of thinking more.
I expected
more.
It to be quicker than that.
Yeah, I kind of did too, actually.
Who do you want? It's running on all electricity.
That was an awesome Simpsons episode. Anyway.
I'm regaining my composure here for a second. Okay. So the launch was originally scheduled on February 8th, but it was postponed due to a radar tracking system failure. It was then scheduled for February 10th, but was scrubbed due to, quote, upper level winds. I'm guessing that means upper in atmosphere, not upper yes. in speeds. So it was upper planned to go off today. We have talked previously about SpaceX's attempt at reusable rockets and having a booster land after it detaches from the main system. And they tested that not long ago, but it had some catastrophic failure. They opted out of attempting that again this time, stating that the drone ship that's designed to be the landing platform is designed to handle everything but extreme weather, and they're claiming such weather is currently happening in the Atlantic, citing 30-foot waves that are crashing over wow. the decks of ships.
I thought they were going to say it's still broken from their last attempt.
Still broken. So yeah, the Discover satellite is like, again, designed to give us an advanced warning on geomagnetic storms, those storms specifically being solar winds. Solar wind spikes have the potential to disrupt nearly every public infrastructure system, including power grids, telecommunications, aviation, and GPS. So kind of a big thing in today's world.
Yes, it is.
The Discover satellite hopefully will give the potential of providing a 50 to 60 minute warning before a surge of particles reach Earth, and will also be able to assist in impact locations.
Cool.
So we are protecting the Earth from space.
I like technology.
Yay.
Isn't it fun? I did see follow-up articles that the Falcon 9 did successfully release the Discover satellite, and that the Discover satellite's solar arrays did open without complication, and all systems look good so far. This rocket awesome. Did launch today, Wednesday, February 11th. So, but all things are going well so up to now.
So in a year, we'll have an update of solar wind patterns.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's when awesome. It's exactly expected to hit its final destination to be able to accurately monitor. That part wasn't really explained. I tried to do more research on the satellite, but I had limited time.
Oh.
Oh. Sad face.
Well, continuing on for more entertainment, Bethesda, the popular video developer responsible for Skyrim and Fallout 3 and Brink. Sorry, we try not to remember that one because that one was terrible. Announced that they will be having their own E3 press conference on June 14th, which is several months away. This led to a slew of internet activity when people were wanting them to announce Fallout 4. And when I was... Sorry? Yeah?
No, go ahead. I'll let you finish first.
Comments of how much people wanted Fallout 4, and yet I couldn't help thinking, we speak about that we want original IPs, but yet then when a well-known game developer does this, we go screaming for
a sequel.
Another sequel.
Well, and the one that came to my mind and where I was going to go is Valve with Half-Life 3.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've only been waiting, is it 15 years now?
The fact that people are still sitting there waiting, a little concerning.
There was a
picture. Little inside information, guys. It's not happening.
Yeah.
There was like a picture of Gabe Newell holding knives, like on the computer in the back screen. It was like Half-Life 3. And it's like, oh, look, circle. It's like, someone could have edited that, you moron.
Yeah, they're trolling.
Yeah.
They're trolling their own users.
Yeah. And if not, people are just photoshopping the Half-Life 3 logo in.
It's not even that. It's like whatever. Half-Life, oh, look, number 3.
So yep.
That's not hard to do.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Some high school student with knowledge of Photoshop, which they do teach, by the way, could do that.
Okay, so we were talking about Bethesda, though.
Yep.
So, yes, well, sorry.
People been...
So,
go ahead.
So there, so it's original IP, and now everybody's upset because it's original IP.
Well, no, people are all the time are wanting new and original content, but then
right.
when a studio says they're going to hold, what, their first E3 conference ever?
Yep.
Everyone immediately jumps to, oh, sweet, the sequel to Half-Life 3 is coming.
Or another right. Sky or Elder Scrolls. It's like, come on, guys.
So everyone talks about, I want new content, but new please give ideas, me...
But
give me a repeat.
Give me another post-apocalyptic setting. So...
So I guess we'll have to wait until E3 to find out.
Yep. They are actually offering reserved seats. They said, you know, keep in mind and see if you can register and save yourself a seat for, you know, their E3 press conference in Hollywood this June.
Can you get into that?
I don't think so. I think we'd have to somehow finagle our way in using some of our affiliates.
Should look into it.
Yeah, that'd be crazy to go
to. That would be awesome.
Should look into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Brad.
This week in NSA news.
Ooh. Forgot about them.
Yeah, we forgot about them. No, they're still there.
About you. Always listening. they're watching.
Still watching. All your data are belong to them.
Are belong to? Nice.
Yes.
No, that's actually another gaming reference.
Is I got it?
That. Thank you, Wade. Thank you, Wade.
All your bases are belong to us.
Yes.
What is that for?
All right, so. Oh
God, it's an old, old game.
A StarCraft 1?
No, older. Way older.
Okay, whatever.
I'll have to look that up. God.
Moving on.
All right.
NSA.
Interns. Ho. NSA. So a federal judge in the Northern District of California has ruled that he can't rule in a case accusing the NSA of spying. This case brought its Jewel, JEWEL, versus the NSA, which our good friends at the Electronic Frontier Foundation were joining in on to challenge the NSA's practice of essentially the dragnet surveillance. That was the case. However, the judge's decision was, seeing as the NSA programs that they are challenging are classified, any procedure going forward with the case may lead to possible disclosure of state secrets. Therefore, he cannot rule on the case and dismissed it. So, too long, didn't read. The program is top secret, therefore I can't tell you whether it's right or wrong.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
So our interns are back, and the phrase, all your base are belong to us, comes from a 1991 opening cutscene from a game called Zero Wing, which then became a popular internet meme, or meme, whatever the hell they're called.
Meme.
Sure.
Yes.
So there you go.
Ha.
Zero Wing. Clearly a Japanese game with poorly effort put into translation.
That's what we call English.
But that's what made it awesome.
English. That's what we call English.
Yes.
Yes. If you're Asian and you're offended by that, good.
Well, that was uncalled for.
Wow.
Anyway,
yeah.
So back to the NSA.
Back to NSA.
So yeah, this was the longest outstanding case that the EFF had open to challenge this. Hopefully, this is not a precedent that will be followed by future judges. This is very disturbing that you know a constitutional level case is brought on violations of you know core rights. And the judge says, yeah, I can't deal with it.
Yeah, that's... I mean, and what do you do? Could you even go to the Supreme Court? They're just going to do the same thing, potentially. Is there a fix for this?
Well, it's... I believe it sets a dangerous precedent because that means that the government is completely untouchable.
Yeah, exactly.
If they're doing something wrong that they don't want to deal with, all they have to do is say it's secret.
Yeah, sorry, that's classified.
Yep. If this judge is correct, based on today's ruling, then, you know, they could make taxes 75% and say, well, you know, it's national security and we're making the entire code classified, deal with it.
Data redacted.
Yeah.
You know, this is horrible.
It's pretty scary, especially when you use another analogy like that, that, you know, you always see movies and you got a government agent with his badge that says, this is my get away with anything badge. And sadly, it's becoming more and more true as we're seeing in the media.
They're getting way too much overreach, and this is a very sad precedent, and I hope it gets overturned, and I hope future judges do not follow suit on this.
Yep. Agreed.
Okay.
Awkward silence. Awesome. No.
I don't think that was awkward silence. I believe that was somber silence.
Somber, awkward silence.
Yep. I to probably poorly quote Star Wars, you know, this is how democracy dies, to the sound of applause.
Thunderous applause.
Yeah. Thunderous applause.
Was that Star Trek or was that Star Wars?
Star Wars
Episode 2? Episode 3.
Queen Amidala?
Palpatine takes control of the Senate.
Takes control and creates the Empire.
I think that may have been in 2 with the Clone Wars. I don't know.
I think you may be correct.
I'm not that big of a fan.
What order was executed?
General Order 66?
Is that true?
I don't know. I was just seeing.
Interns. Interns.
Was it the extermination of the Jedi?
Star Wars executive.
This is how liberty dies, with thunderous
Order 66. Wikipedia. Not that I would know that.
Wikipedia.
Order 66, also known as Clone Protocol 66, was one of the series contingency orders that the clone troopers of the Grand Army of the Republic were trained to obey without hesitation. The order branded members of the Jedi Order as traitors to the Republic and called for their immediate execution without question or hesitation. Brad Portwood, you are correct.
Thank you. What do I win?
In Order 66. You win a snazzy new Amazon $10 gift card.
Woohoo!
That has been used to the order of $9.99.
I believe that will do it for this week.
Yeah. I had to pay to ship it there, and that cost $9.99. So you will get a 1 cent Amazon gift card. Thank you for playing.
Woohoo! Thank you. Thank you.
And with that, we're just about done, which I'm actually pretty impressed by, with our rants and our ramblings.
Keeping it.
It was good.
Quick and quiet.
No.
It was good.
Not really. It was good. And with that, guys, we thank you for listening, as always. Let us know what you think about this episode and our others on Facebook and through Twitter. We are making some changes in how we operate those to hopefully be a little bit more interactive. So hopefully we'll see you there. Thanks for coming.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.